Dynasty Football Network presents Super Flexible Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, and host, Steve Halepka.
What's up, everybody? It's your host, Steve Halepka, here tonight on the Super Flexible Podcast. I got my boys, Swags. What's going on, Swags?
I'm Swags. It's like Steve almost forgot who he was here with.
Oh my gosh, for a second, right? I almost drew a blank real quick. What's going on, dude?
How's it going?
I'm good. And we also have a very animated Tudrick with us as well. What's going on, Tudrick?
More so than normal?
probably
we'll find out. Cool,
the right? Animation breakdown.
It's Madman's
we'll
fault.
We'll leave it there. Maybe we'll hit that on the outro.
I like Madman.
Talk about the hijinks going on with Tudrick and Madman today.
Cheers.
But besides our normal and usual suspects, we have a very awesome guest. He is the author of The Analytics of Dynasty, also has the Analytics of Dynasty podcast, Jordan McNamara. What's going on, Jordan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate yes. it.
We're super excited to pick your brain a little bit later, kind of talk about the book, some of the topics you cover in it. So super excited to hear about that. But before we do, where can the folks find you on Twitter? Plug us with Twitter, Instagram, wherever else we can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at McNamara Dynasty. You can find my work at analyticsofdynasty.com, and you can find the book, The Analytics of Dynasty, at analyticsofdynasty.com/shop. You can also find my I do work at uthdynasty.com, premium podcasts, and I have my own weekly show, Dynasty Football Analytics, which you can find where you get your podcasts.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. That's a new project as well to go along with everything else, right?
Yeah, so I wrote a book, and then I released the book, and I realized that how much time it took, because I was sitting around and had a whole bunch of spare time, and I was like, let's do something. So yeah, we're working on the new podcast, Dynasty Football Analytics. Just my co-host Adam Wilson and I just working on it. And I think we're 4 or 5 episodes in, and we started at a great time, because it was like the Tyreek Hill incident, you know, It's been a crazy and chaotic time, so it's been good. It's been a lot of fun.
So chaotic that you lost track after 4 or 5 episodes.
How many episodes?
I think Two Drinks got the count.
Yeah.
5. I believe 5 was the last one, or that's the one I listened to today.
I think it's 5. I think we're on 5.
Awesome.
Check that out.
Hell yeah.
For sure. Anywhere you can find podcasts, so every Stitcher, iTunes, all that good stuff?
Yes. Yep.
Great. So we have a ton to talk with Jordan about tonight. So we also have a bunch of NFL news and notes and some breaking news that just happened before we hopped on.
What?
And then we will also hit up Tudrick's secret Superflex trades. They are a total secret. But before that, let's find where you can find Tudrick on Twitter. Where can the folks find you, Tudrick?
At FLTudrick minimum at SuperflexPod.
Swags?
I am at DFF_Swag.
And I am at The Real Halepka and at Superflex Trades.
Why are you laughing, Spikes?
I'm not.
So the breaking news that happened just before we hopped on today, Jordan Howard traded from the Bears to the Eagles for a 2020 6th-round draft pick. So the RB doesn't matter crowd, you have a victory lap here. Clearly, with Jordan Howard, who was a perennial 1,000-yard rusher, being traded for a bag of peanuts. So we'll start with our guest, Jordan. So initial thoughts on this move, does it help Howard's value? Do you think he has a good role with the Eagles? What are you thinking here?
He's a classic player for me that I think his name matters more than he actually matters. So in the book, one of the things I came up with is a metric called WARP. And basically it measures how much a player will add to you in terms of wins over replacement value. And Howard's a classic guy who doesn't really move the needle all that much. And I think it would surprise folks about how his production just doesn't matter a whole lot in terms of actually winning you games. Is it a little bit better of a scenario in Philly? Probably. I think they might use him a little bit better. But the question is what type of upside does he offer? I mean, he's won you a quarter of a game over the past 2 seasons, which is not very much. So yeah, I think he was getting phased out, and it's not surprising that he got traded. I actually think that I'm of all the moving pieces in this trade, I am most interested in Ryan Nall.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, rookie from this past year, I believe Oregon State, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes.
So why are you interested in Nall over the signing of Mike Davis?
Team big running back. You get big guys that can move and can catch. He is an athlete that no one talks about, and he has two-way production ability at free. And anytime you get that profile, you look at the guys that, you know, I look at the big guys that can catch and move. And anytime you can get a cheap version of that, it's a great investment. It's a great investment type of player to really look at.
Interesting. And I'm sure right now on a lot of rosters, he may not even be rostered in a bunch of leagues. I would say maybe 12 teams. He's probably out of waiver wires, 14 teams he might be rostered, but it's probably really cheap to acquire at this point in time.
Yeah, he's on, you know, 25-man rosters. He's on waiver wires. So, yeah, that's definitely he's a player that I like a lot. And you know, the Mike Davis signing was certainly interesting. But I think further down the line, because I think he can play either the big back or the receiving back role. He's got two-way ability. So it probably takes an injury for him to go down, but I like investing in that type of profile.
Okay. Swags, I know we were chatting before we started the pod tonight, and you were more intrigued, I think, by Mike Davis, right?
Well, I definitely... yeah, we were talking about it. I said I wish I bought low on Mike Davis while Jordan Howard was there, you know. I think it was one of those things, like, you and I kind of agreed we should have seen the writing on the wall in this situation. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, a good point, too, though, is, like, we don't know what's going to happen in the draft still or through that process. Like, will Mike Davis come out with that role? Or I'm definitely still interested in Cohen without Jordan Howard there. But, yeah, you have to wait and see. To Drink, you and I mentioned that earlier today, just kind of this weird area in time where some of those players like Mike Davis, for example, as of today, you don't know what's going to happen or who's going to be there. The Damian Williams, if you will, of the world, where their situation could change so much through the draft, or if all of a sudden TJ Yeldon or CJ Anderson's on your team.
Yeah, so To Drink, any thoughts about that Chicago backfield as of right now?
I think it's more of a bump to Cohen, but I don't think both Chicago and Philly are done. I think they both take somebody in the draft, whether it be a little bit later, maybe than now we were originally thinking. Is
like squat. Like
Steve said, what
Steve mentioned, it was peanuts? A bag of peanuts. I don't even think they got peanuts. Yeah, exactly. They tried to get an extra bag of peanuts, and Philly was like, "No, like our peanuts are really good here."
We're giving you a half a cheesesteak. it remains to be seen for sure, but I like the call on Ryan Nall. It's a super cheap ad for the back of your bench in deeper leagues for sure. So let's move now from some of the breaking news to another player that might end up getting traded. So Fox Sports' Joe Klatt thinks that Josh Rosen will be moved from the Arizona Cardinals. Three teams seem interested. Patriots, Chargers, and the Giants, which makes sense because they all have aging quarterbacks and could definitely use some youth behind them. So out of those three landing spots, Swags, who's your favorite destination for Josh Rosen?
I'd like to see him on the Giants of those. I just think it's the quickest role to being a starter, and that's what I want and need out of Josh Rosen. I don't need him to sit behind Tom Brady or Philip Rivers.
So, To Drink, if Rosen gets traded to the Chargers and he's Phil Rivers' backup, what are you then trading for him in terms of dynasty
he
picks?
He hates Rosen.
Isn't Tyrod Taylor still there?
Like, Tyrod is there as well.
I'll take Tyrod over Josh Rosen. Get out of here, Gross.
Oh my gosh.
And you can trade him to the Patriots, but Brady's gonna play longer than Rosen is if that's where he ends up. No, like Giants is the only one that makes sense. You came to me because you know I hate Rosen. I hate you now for doing that, Steve. Get out of here.
All right. Jordan, if he ends up as a Giant.
Help him out, Jordan.
Yeah, if he ends up as a Giant, what is his value? I mean, does he go back to that, you know, one first-round pick plus in terms of value in a Superflex league?
I think so, because he might not start this year. You know, they have this odd obsession with saying that Eli Manning is still performing at an elite level. Dave Gettleman does. I don't quite understand that, but it certainly doesn't appear that way to me, but who am I to say? But yeah, I mean, I think that'd be good for his value in terms of at least we have, and there's some good pieces there in terms of Ingram, obviously Barkley. I'm a little bit lower on Sterling Shepard, but you could see in a relatively good offense, I think, in 2020. I also think Washington's a possibility too.
That could be interesting. Yeah, I mean, they obviously picked up Case Keenum, but we've seen Case Keenum just, you know, crap the bed the last
year. I like Washington, though. Yeah, that, I kind of like that landing spot.
Yep.
Where are these rookies going to go then if we keep getting guys like either Rose to go to the Giants or let's say the Redskins? Well, I mean, where, like outside of Kyler Murray going to Arizona, where does Haskins fit in? Like if the Giants get Rosen, they're not getting Haskins. You know what I mean? Like where are these Denver. Guys going?
Denver probably, right? You figure Denver's going to draft someone behind Flacco.
I feel like they're locked into lock regardless of where it goes.
Oh, I know.
Gross.
It is totally gross.
Ravens need a quarterback.
I see what you did there.
You're so mean.
But yeah, there's got to be other teams we're just not thinking of. I mean, Tennessee, right? You would think might be thinking about quarterback at this point. They've got two guys that failed.
Perfect.
Yeah, they've got two guys that have essentially failed.
I want to buy low on Mariota.
Yes.
Kind of. I think that's who they want to have a job. Trash. I mean, so.
If you believe, it's a great opportunity. Really great opportunity. Yeah. But let's move from one embattled quarterback to potentially another. Andy Dalton. So the Bengals owner, Mike Brown, said they want Andy Dalton to reestablish himself before talking about an extension. So that says, to me, prove it or you're gone for Andy Dalton in 2019. Will he go the way of Blake Bortles and turn into a backup in 2020? I'll ask to drink first on this one.
Say it again.
Will Andy Dalton go the route of Blake Bortles, if losing his job at the end of 2019 and becoming a backup 2020 and going forward?
I mean, the talks are kind of like that, though. I think Dalton kind of sticks around and maybe holds back on to it. Let's get a full year healthy AJ Green and kind of see what this team can do. New coaching system there. Hopefully, again, an improved offensive line. Let's see Joe Mixon. I'm not a huge Tyler Boyd guy, but a healthy AJ Green. And maybe IR Furt can stay healthy for a couple games and help this team out.
Possibly. Hopefully.
Andy Dalton is not the Blake.
I think if Case Keenum can have a starting job in the NFL, then Andy Dalton will have one too.
Younger and a little better.
That's fair. Jordan, feelings on Andy Dalton.
Don't check their age. I'm not sure if that's true.
Dalton's like 31 and Case is 29 or 30.
They're close. But yeah, Jordan, thoughts on Andy Dalton, him going forward?
Yeah, he is 31. I like the... I think their offense has... I think, you know, get AJ Green back. I think their offense could take a step forward. You get a better coaching system in terms of you're getting another guy off the McVay tree going there. I think he has some sneaky upside this season. Is he a top 12 finisher? Maybe not, but can he reclaim a little bit of the, I think the narrative's pretty bad on him. Can he finish as a top 15, 18 starter? I think absolutely. And, you know, then it's time for renegotiations. It'll be interesting to see how it happens, but he's a classic case of there's only 20 to 25 starting quarterbacks walking the face of the earth at a given time and 32 teams need to fill it. So if you don't go with Dalton, who do you go with, right? I mean, it's not like there's a ton of replacement options out there. Are they a sneaky team at 11, right? When we were having that conversation, I was just looking at the draft order. That could be a landing spot that no one's talking about right now.
That's a fascinating one, yeah, for sure. If those quarterbacks fall because of people, you know, either making signings or trades, that could certainly be a spot for a quarterback. That's a really good point. To drink initial reaction to that. Maybe one of the quarterbacks going there. To drinks and having a beer.
He's gone. He likes Jack Driscoll too much.
Yeah, he must. Does not want to hear about quarterbacks going to Cincinnati. Swag's thoughts on a new young quarterback in Cincinnati?
I think they'd probably wait until next year's draft and see what happens with Dalton and see what they can find in free agency. I think they'll be fine with Dalton.
I think for one more year at least.
Kyler Murray or Haskins or anybody like that's going to put him in a better position to win right now.
Yeah, I agree.
AJ Green is old. If you want to try to win, you know, and I don't know if they're the team that can win, but I mean, they do have all the players Two Drink just mentioned, you know, and Joe Mixon, like they're a pretty solid squad, you know, so I want the vet out there. I think Dalton can do it.
I mean, he's proven it too before, right? I mean,
he's a low-end franchise QB.
Yeah, he's had a top five fantasy year. I mean, if we're swinging it back to a fantasy perspective, he's done it before. We've seen him have a monster year, and I think with the pieces around him, if they're healthy, he's got a chance at that as well. So, let's move now from, gosh, Andy Dalton to, I can't segue here to Doug Baldwin, but hernia surgery for Doug Baldwin, out another 6 to 8 weeks. Is this the beginning of the end for Doug Baldwin's fantasy usefulness on this one, Swags? Is Doug Baldwin done?
Well, yeah. But I think that was last year. Not to be that guy, but yeah, I've been off of Baldwin. You all know that.
Yeah. So I mean, it's totally Tyler Lockett's team now. He is by far number one in Seattle.
Will Disley.
he may be ready for OTAs. We'll see.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, Lockett is a definite value. He's never going to be considered that wide receiver one, but man, he's putting up great production. The guys that are ranked above him, like the DJ Moores and Corey Davises of the world, have yet to do what Lockett did last year. Mm-hmm. And now we get this news about Baldwin, and hell yeah, I want some Lockett now.
So the next surgery, it's a hernia surgery, is that right?
Hernia, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one thing after another right now. The injuries are just piling up for him.
I know Swags isn't going to do it, but Jordan or Steve, would you give a middle 2019 second for Baldwin right now?
I've bought Baldwin twice in the past 2 weeks.
All right, I got. What'd you pay?
I paid. I moved 203.
I
kind of
want to do it.
I've moved 203 for Baldwin and 303, and then I traded Chris Warren in a late 2019 second. I can't remember. I think it was like 209, something like that, for Baldwin in a 2020. Third round pick.
I like both those deals.
Swags, even for you, you're not doing that. That's not cheap enough. I feel like that's cheap.
Uh-huh. It's pretty cheap, but I'd rather have Larry Fitzgerald.
I think that's fair. Yeah, if you're playing to win this year and just going all out, why not get the guy who doesn't get hurt and catches 95 balls a year?
Yeah.
Can you get Larry Fitz for a 202?
I think so, easily.
Yeah, you can get him for a second or third. 202, yeah. I don't know if I'd want to get quite. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I got Larry Fitzgerald for Geronimo Allison and Cole Beasley.
I like that. It's a good deal.
You talked about that earlier. I like that.
A pretty strong squad, you know.
You're a contender, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I like that deal. Just some quick.
I'm bending out for that right now.
All right. Just some quick Raiders news real quick. So Isaiah Crowell actually signed with the Raiders after being cut by the Jets for a one-year deal. And then former Raider Jordy Nelson actually retired. And then a bit of, I guess, rules and regulations changes in the NFL. Both offensive and defensive pass interference calls made and not made will be reviewable. This was voted 31-1 in terms of owners voting on this over the past weekend. So
who didn't do it?
I wonder who it was. I'm going to go with, well, but Robert Kraft, I guess Kraft was there anyway, right? He's got to be. So they had 32 votes. But yeah, no, just that passed. So we will now have pass interference reviews. Judgment calls are now being reviewed in the NFL. I don't have a very strong feeling about this, but Swags, do you have any real care either way on the defensive and offensive pass interference calls?
No. I think it's good for the NFL, though, in plays and. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take up some time, but it can't hurt.
I saw, I believe it was a Blitz NFL that put this out, that it means like these calls take like 10 minutes, or it'll add about 10 minutes on to the game for the calls, which allows you to drink two more beers, so you're welcome.
Two drinks in.
Changes my kind of upgrade. Out of three drink minimum.
I like it. Yep.
Let's get crazy.
I love it. I love it. Well, more of our conversation with Jordan in a minute, but first, let's hear about GT Bets.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu. an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Superflex in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
All right. So, Jordan, I mean, this the topic list that you sent us, just about what's covered in your book, the Analytic Dynasty, just some awesome stuff that I really want to touch on here. So, I mean, starting at the top, I mean, you talk about how to exploit players' age. Can you shed a little bit of light on that? I mean, just I obviously don't want to give away everything for free, but we'd love to kind of hear some of your thoughts about what we can do to exploit this factor of age in Dynasty Leagues.
Yeah, so really when I went to write the book, I didn't set out to write the book. It was actually a DFS research project. Mm-hmm. And I started doing more and more research on players and just a variety of different topics. And then I kept seeing like the same trends. So I got some ADP, some Dynasty ADP, and started laying it over my findings. And I was like, wow, there's a lot for Dynasty here. So I just started writing it down for what I thought was going to be a series of articles at UTH. And by the time I looked up, I was about 40 or 50 pages in. And one of the chapters was about age. And I was like, wow, there's a lot here, I think, that's different than what people think. And so I was a big time, that was like a big time chapter for me, because it was a lot of things that I don't think people think about, or that I think there's a lot of value there. And, you know, the aging wide receiver topic, I think, is one that's really interesting. You know, the AJ Green, the Doug Baldwin buying low, the Julio Jones aging, Antonio Brown aging, those conversations are really interesting because you can get a value on them and their price starts to drop. And one of the things that I noticed was they don't really become less productive. What happens, people misunderstand age, particularly in each position ages differently. But at receiver, one thing that I think is underappreciated, it's that as players age, what's actually happening is they're either aging out of the league or they're staying the same amount of productive by and large. And I have a couple different ways I measure that. Like I said before, my wins over replacement metric is one of them. I measure a lot of starter games, how many top 24 games you get, for example, of a receiver. I look at those things and they don't really go down as players age, but you'll notice that the amount of players that are still playing into their mid 30s, right? You get retirements of guys that don't have elite pedigree, like Jordy Nelson, for example, is a good example today. That type of player doesn't play into his mid 30s, whereas you get guys like AJ Green and Julio are on track to do that. And so I think that's one place where there's a lot of value. You know, the other place where I think there's a lot of value is at quarterback. And people fall in love with, you know, I call this the Ryan Tannehill and Teddy Bridgewater rule, is that people fell in love with Ryan Tannehill and Teddy Bridgewater as future starters early in their career. And what actually happens at quarterback is that, like, the 23 through 26 range of the quarterback position is death. Mm. Right, they become a lot. They are very, very dangerous bets there because they haven't established themselves enough to really give confidence. And there's a lot of downside, but people accept it is true. And so that's an interesting. And now we're going to see it with guys like with Josh Allen and Darnold and Mayfield, and you know, people are already crowning Mahomes, and that's probably justified. But I would caution people. If you look at young quarterbacks, you need a little bit more than just a flash to really invest high level assets in them. So I've gone away from that as sort of a, you know, I look at players a lot as types of players, categories of players, profiles. And I think that that's the way that you should go about it. Instead of really falling in love with a specific player, let's look at types of players and figure out how to invest in them. And that's one place that sort of, you know, that maybe necessarily not elite quarterback sort of in their mid 20s, that Mariota type, that Winston type, you know, we've seen that where those guys sort of cap out at a lower ceiling than anyone thought. And that if you're spending high pedigree on that, high draft position on that in a startup draft, that hurts a lot. So that's one of the things that I've really sort of gone away from.
Okay. So you'd rather target, you know, the, maybe the 30-year-old, or are you looking at still guys like Drew Brees and Philip Rivers that are on the tail end of their career to be really integral parts of your team?
So quarterback's one place where I think that you should really strive to for elite, either elite NFL production or elite draft pedigree coming in or elite production profile in college, right? You want, so Mayfield fits for me because he was an all-time, you know, a top 5% prospect coming out. Kyler Murray is in that same sphere. I mean, he broke my quarterback model in terms of yards per attempt in college, right? Like all of that, those types, Haskins is up there too. So those guys are interesting to me, but what sort of scares me is the, maybe Rosen's not a great example of this because of all the stuff with him, but Darnold's another example, right? These guys that have flashed a little bit and then people start spending top 10 quarterback prices on them. That's a dangerous thing. So I am, and quarterbacks don't really age off in a way that they don't really become less productive as they age. They're less of them play, but the guys that play still by and large do well because they're elite players. Now, is there a crater right at the end? Yes. Have we seen probably the last of Eli? Yes. But you can look at a guy like Rodgers in his mid-30s. I mean, that's and he's falling in. I mean, this is probably the cheapest you could get him in drafts since what, his rookie year? I mean, that's really interesting to me. You know, his, when he was, not his rookie year, but when he was sitting behind Favre, right? Before he became the starter. It's probably the cheapest he's been. And that's really interesting to me at this particular point in his career, because I don't think that he doesn't project to fall off a cliff anytime soon.
Okay. So sticking kind of with that youth versus experience side, but let's take it even a step further and kind of talk about, you know, rookies versus veterans, and kind of how you see yourself and how you construct your team around picking rookies during your rookie draft versus utilizing those picks for veteran players.
Yeah, so I think it matters the position that you're doing it at, and it matters the type of cost, right? I'm interested in anything at the right cost. Doug Baldwin isn't a typical guy that I would have been drafting 2 years ago, but now he's had three surgeries in the past 6 months. He's falling off a cliff. Those narratives create value to me. So I'm interested in guys like that. I'm interested in vets that are, for some reason, beaten down, whether it's guys like Eric Ebron last year or whether it's like Devin Funchess is really interesting to me. This year, you know, guys that are have pedigree that are beaten down in terms of pricing. AJ Green is consistently falling in startup drafts. I mean, that is something that I think he's going outside the top 20 in receivers. I mean, that's value there. I do think I tend to think on the flip side of that, that the, at least the upper value, you know, the high end rookie picks are undervalued. You know, first round rookie picks tend to be undervalued. And I actually compared in the book, I have a whole chapter comparing, I was able to get my hand on 10 years of ADP data and compare the rookies to the veterans. And what you'll notice at any given price point that the rookies, especially at running back, outproduce the veterans in terms of like 3 and 5 year windows. Mm-hmm. What I looked at, they outproduce them. So when people talk about, especially a running back, when people talk about, you know, you shouldn't chase youth or, you know, I there's certain positional things where you got to be careful, but by and large, I think that rookie picks are generally undervalued.
That's interesting. I definitely could see that for the running back position. Are there any other spots where that's the case, or really is just running back in that first kind of rookie contract window, or do wide receivers or tight ends make up for that too?
Well, I think one place my research has showed me to be really, really careful is at the receiver position. And I think that people get every year, right? This happens every year. Guys like Gallup, guys like Pettis, guys like Anthony Miller, that they land on day two and they say, the market says, oh, look, situation's great, right? And what happens? Gallup's a great example of this. He projected, there were people projecting him to be 110 target guy as a rookie. And what do? They trade in season for Amari Cooper, and then they bring in Randall Cobb in the offseason. And how does everyone feel now? And you spent, what, 202 last year to get him? Right, that's a... See, that to me is a really scary thing in terms of that. So I tend to advise people that the... last year, I think I was in 14 or 15 leagues last year, and I selected a total of eight. I spent a total of eight picks on wide receivers, and I only spent them on four wide receivers. So in any given year, I would tell folks that you should really play wide receiver in rookie drafts tight, and it should be a limited number of guys, a small number of guys, and you should only make them at the right price. Because when you start reaching on these receivers and start rostering 7, 8, 9, 10 receivers on a roster, you're just burning away efficiency.
That's really fascinating because it kind of contradicts a lot of, you know, traditional strategies of, you know, wide receiver heavy because they hold their value longer. I know Two Drink and I really have, that's kind of our philosophy when we're building dynasty teams is, you know, have the great wide receiver for as long as I possibly can. And then, you know, running backs who change very quickly in value, they will kind of, I won't say fall to us, but we're able to make up the ground there.
But like generally speaking, I think you're right. Like you should build, I think that you should build, not zero RB is probably not the right word for it, but I think you should go wide receiver heavy in your startup drafts early. And there's a lot of value in that right now because people are drafting running backs high, right? This is a year where you can really lock away a stable group of receivers early in your draft. And then I moved totally away from the position, right? I drafted my co-host over at UTH, Tim Torch, and I were in a Trade Addicts league, and we did a startup, and we selected four wide receivers, I think, in the first seven rounds, and then didn't draft one for another 28 rounds, right? That's what I is totally different than what the market's doing and a highly efficient strategy.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. That's kind of the way you built that, those teams, just really getting your core group and then just taking, really shooting darts at the end. So it's really kind of fascinating how that would work out. So a couple more things about just some of the overall strategy pieces. So tell me what this rule of seven is.
Yeah. So the rule of seven essentially says that for every seven more, and it's different by settings and different leagues and stuff like that. The data that I use for this is, I would call it pretty stock-ish leagues. I think there's 10 starters. You know, there was kicker and a defense. I think it was 6-point passing touchdown. It's basically a market neutral type of setting.
Okay.
But what I found was that for every 7 points that you add to your average score per week, you increase a win. And what you'll notice with that is that will guide how you should make trades, right? Mm-hmm. So, and people will overpay, you know, people make overpayments for, you know, I traded Carlos Hyde using this exact principle last year earlier in the season because he was a starter. And I got a future first at for him. I think it was a 2020 first, if memory serves. And what you didn't realize is that the player that I was would have started in his place, or I wasn't even starting Hyde in this particular league, but the guy that was adding him really wasn't adding much. He was adding like maybe a point or two of projection a week, and that doesn't really move the needle. And so when you start thinking in terms of what you're actually doing, you know, the rule of seven basically is the foundation for my warp data, which tells you how many wins a player will actually add you. And then when you start thinking that, thinking more strategically, and I lay it all out in the book, it will guide how you make value decisions a lot more. And what you'll notice is, you know, one thing you said before is that wide receivers tend to maintain their value. That is only true. I think that's maybe of all the things in the book that I wrote about, I think that's the thing that's actually the most wrong.
Really? Okay.
Early, and I would say in terms of like, in the data that I had was essentially, it was one QB data. Okay. So mm-hmm. it was probably in the first, what I would say is running backs, receivers maintain their value inside the top 50, we'll say in the top, it's the top five rounds of this data, right? In the top five rounds, wide receivers maintain their value better than running backs. Okay. But what is not true, it's absolutely not true that they maintain it better afterwards. Because people think, and I did some polling on this on Twitter, you know, what, who mains, if you're going to select a player outside the top, you know, 60 of a startup draft, you know, and you're trying to preserve value, what position do you take, wide receiver or running back? And folks, like a majority of people said wide receiver, and that is, it is absolutely not true. And I'm not going to say that running back is, it's a little bit more complicated on whether or not running backs maintain it better, but they're absolutely, it's about the same, I would say, is the most simple way to put it. It's more in the book, but it is not true that receivers maintain their value. Okay. And in the short term, running backs are 25%, 20 to 25% more productive. So when you're loading up on having 7, 8, 9, 10 receivers, you're actually harming yourself in two ways. A, you're not ever really going to, on average, you won't realize much benefit from those guys in terms of your startability. And you're really not capturing, value in terms of maintaining it over startup drafts. And I think that's one thing, you know, for your listeners, that if that's a key thing, I think that will help you make a more efficient
team. Awesome. No, that's super helpful, because I know would certainly be taking shots in, you know, the eighth or ninth round on a receiver I like that might either be blocked now or just not like their talent. So this is certainly a kind of great tip for that, for sure. Last one before we talk about some super flex trades. So tell me that most important thing to increase the likelihood of winning a title.
Yes.
Yeah, so players.
Pick the right players. Yeah.
Pick the right players. Yeah. So the rule of seven, and after I wrote the book, I started thinking more and more about this, and you'll talk to, you know, I just did a startup, and at the end of the startup, I sent messages to everyone in the league, and I think I got a response from like 10 or 11 people, and all I asked them was, give me your odds to win the championship in year one. And the response was, I think the average response was about 22.5%. Okay. Which is three times more than possible. Okay. I think the cumulative total, I want to say there was like 10 people that responded. I think it was like 224% to win the championship in year one. People are way overconfident. Right? Way overconfident. That's, you know, people are saying, 60%, right? That's nearly impossible. But what you can really do that moves the needle, and if you sort of focus on the chapter in my book about the rule of seven, and what you'll notice is that if you can get a bye, right? Your focus shouldn't be to make the playoffs if you want to win a championship. It's to get a bye. Because if you get a bye, you only have to play two games, right? Instead of three. You have less variance that you're exposed to, and you're probably a very good team, right? And so when I broke it down and when I really looked at how to create a team, one of the things that I think people look at 16 week seasons and say, oh, you know, I got to fill out my roster for a 16 week season. Your goal should be to go 9-4, 10-3 at if you want to win a championship, to go 9-4, 10-3 or better in the regular season. Focus on that, because that'll get you a bye. And then that'll actually move the needle in terms of make you a lot more likely to win the championship. And so that's really one of the things I think you look at that stuff more strategically and making decisions based on trying to get a bye and through the rule of seven and look at how many wins players actually add you. That'll move the needle a lot more, strategically for your dynasty team.
Awesome, man. That's really cool stuff. So again, analytics of dynasty. Jordan, really appreciate some of the great info you were sharing with our listeners there. But before we talk about some Superflex trades, let's talk about the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
And one of the best things we do and are associated with Scouting Academy, over 30 people have real NFL jobs going through this curriculum. So super great opportunity. And of course, check out the Scouting Academy on our pages, Dynasty Football Factory, as well as using that promo code Superflex. So let's move now to two drinks, super secret Superflex trades.
Why are you going to skip that one you got there, Steve? Go ahead.
We do have one first that Swags and I were talking about earlier. So regardless of format,
you guys are jerks.
We saw this on Twitter as we were getting ready and had to include just because they're both our guys. So regardless of format, Chris Godwin or Jarvis Landry? We'll start with Swag on this one.
Well, man, it's a tough one for me.
I hate you.
I think I'm going to go with Landry here, though, still.
Ooh, okay. Better overall offense, or what's your thought process?
We've just seen it out of him a little bit more, and I know that was with the Dolphins, but I think he's still going to get a good amount of targets. He's probably going to be opened a little bit more. We talked about that a little bit earlier on Fantasy Football Breakdown, two drink. Like, everybody's going to be covering Odell Beckham Jr. I shouldn't say everybody, but man, everybody could be kind of open because there's so many weapons on that team that Landry had to be the number one last year. He doesn't have to be that this year.
Okay, but fair enough.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of coming around a little bit, Steve, to Godwin, but I'm definitely not at, like, your crush level. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
okay.
That's your that's guy, right. And listening to you on it has definitely, I think, made me come around
him
a little sooner than some of the people, but yeah, I'm just still not quite with you.
That's all right. Two drink. You still on the Landry train?
You know, brother.
All right, just double checking. Got to make sure.
But I mean, Jesus, Steve. Like, I mean, what's transpired here in this offseason? I mean, you were definitely ahead of the curve on this one. I'll kudos to you for sure on Godwin. I mean, you were talking this last year before the season started.
Every once in a while, you get one right. And for all the ones I've gotten wrong, I'll take the small one and get them.
Oh, come on now.
Is Jordan going to split this? I feel like he's going to split it.
Got to give me Landry.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's all right.
And what this is a classic example of, you know, people overestimate the hit rate on day two receivers. And, you know, day two receivers hit less than 20% of the time. And you keep making these bets on day two receivers. They're low probability bets. They just are. And people think he was a round three wide receiver, if memory serves. The hit rate on day three on round three wide receivers that were drafted between 2008 and 2017 is 15%. So when you think about those types of receivers, that's not a place where you really want to be investing. Is he in a good offense? Yes, but
it's gotten better. Like I get that too, but I have
concern about. I mean, how many targets do we really expect him to get?
As the number two there, I have him for right around probably like 105.
What do you have Landry at? Because I think Landry's still at that number two.
Yeah, I think Landry's real close there. I think he's right around
a little more.
Yeah, 110 probably.
I get it. I feel like Godwin is more valuable in like Dynasty Twitter right now.
You agreed.
It's hotter. I think if I had Godwin, I could get Landry plus maybe a little something. And you can't do it the other way. But if I have Landry, I am not giving you, I'm not trading him for Godwin. No chance.
All right. Totally fair. It's two drink. Give us the first secret trade from Hat Stashes Stashes.
Nice.
Phenomenal. All right. Twitter handle. Love it.
You know, well, I mean, I had to throw it back a little bit and get some.
So you're making it up now from last week's easy stuff. So
right. Yeah, I appreciate that. So, and actually, this is one I just went and got. And it's a little old, but because we were talking about Mariota earlier, I wanted to grab it. Mm-hmm. This is just 12-team Superflex Mariota 2019 rookie pick value.
Mm.
So a little different here. It starts at the 107 to 112 range. Then we got like an early first 201 to 206. We got a middle late second. And even a 301 or later. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, 301 or later got 22%, which I think is
at Superflex.
Is definitely ridiculous in Superflex. That's not true. And it says it there. But Mariota's value for you guys. I'd like to see where you guys are at. Like right now, what would you give?
Like a pick?
Yeah. Rookie pick 2019.
I would give you up to including the 101.
Interesting.
Wow. Including the 101. You are on the Mariota train.
Well, I mean, and first of all, the trade value on that like favors the 101 by a significant margin. So I get the craziness right. of it, but at the same time, like I'm getting a young starting quarterback drafted onto my team. Like Mariota's not supposed to be in the rookie draft, but if he was, I have to imagine that most people would want that proven asset. And if not, like I think you're almost crazy. And by proven, I mean he's got a starting role. We know his situation. Like, I mean, if you're gonna all of a sudden like give me Metcalf for Mariota, I'm all about having the quarterback in Superflex. Like I would do it for Mike Williams. I would do it for a lot of wide receivers. Why would I not do it for the unproven one?
Okay, let me pause for a second right there. Let's keep the Superflex, and since let's take the other players out of it, Kyler Murray or Haskins, whoever you want to go there, or Mariota.
Oh, Mariota, absolutely.
Then it makes sense why you would give up the 101 to do it.
But. Yeah, if I have the 101, I am drafting one of those quarterbacks, though, whichever one's in the best situation, and I'm trying to trade him away because that quarterback will hold the most value for the longest time. And the wide receivers can slump, and I can buy them cheaper, but as long as a quarterback has a starting gig, like they're still going to have that value that Rosen holds right now.
I feel like you could see yourself liking Haskins more than Murray, depending on landing spot. So let's say Haskins goes to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you draft. You're then going to look to trade. Let's trade Haskins for Mariota plus like a 2020 second.
Yeah, I would do that deal. I'll take Mariota and some.
On the 2020 second over there. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. We made another deal today, dude. That's like five or three.
Wow. Yeah. That's like a record for you guys.
But I mean, I think like rookie picks are crazy sometimes because people, the allure of them is sometimes too much and you get caught up in this hype, and it works out a lot of times, don't get me wrong, but for this year's draft being so wide receiver heavy and the quarterbacks weren't really worth talking about until there was nothing to talk about, and I don't know, man. I know Jordan mentioned both those guys and how they did in college, but man, I'm just not buying it at the pro level.
That's fair.
I'd love to hear Jordan's thought on this one, especially in Superflex side of things. So thoughts on Mariota's value in a Superflex. I mean, are you willing to give up the 101 like Swags would, or would you look for a middle first rounder for Mariota at this point in Superflex league? What are you thinking?
I don't think I needed to, but I would.
Right. You know, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd rather take Kyler Murray. I think the upside's higher, and I really like his metric profile. So Haskins is a little bit more of a conversation with me. I would say at this point, I would be hesitant on quarterback at this point because the draft pedigree is really important. And we think we think Haskins is going to be a top 10 quarterback, but I'm not sold on draft pedigree at this time of year yet.
Outside of Murray, Arizona, I'm just saying.
Yeah. And if he doesn't go there, right, there's a reasonable possibility that this is a some sort of smokescreen, I guess. I mean, it is possible that that is what's happening. I think it's more likely than not that they're going to take Murray, but you know, I'm not sure on some of these other guys. Would I rather have Mariota than the, you know, in that poll, in the specific poll, I would pay the late first for Mariota. I would do that. I think that's where he fits appropriately.
I think for me right now, with the 2019 class where it is, I think I'd be comfortable easily paying 1-2. I think I would still take Murray over him, but I would pay 1-2 for Mariota. It's great.
Nice. Yeah. I have the benefit of looking at this, so I feel like it sways me a little bit. I'd like to go to like the mid 1-6, 1-8 range.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest option this had was 107 to 112. That is what won at 36%, but it was kind of all over the board here with 26%, 22%, you know, on down there. So I think I wonder if more people paid attention to that being Superflex in that question, which is maybe why it was like that. But I don't know. That seems like
you definitely
don't have to pay the 101. Let's put it that way.
Right. Anytime you're getting a starting quarterback for less than a first round draft pick, you just run and do it. I don't care who it is. You're running to go do that in Superflex for sure.
And I don't mind buying on Mariota going into this, Swags, but it seems a steep price you're willing to pay.
What more, like, you just really think it was the injury plague season there? You're looking forward to, you know, maybe Corey Davis and some of these pieces taking a step, or are you expecting we get back to Marcus Mariota, quarterback 16?
Like, I think that it's less risky than being in the draft this year.
Okay.
I mean, fair. Quote unquote, you know, like,
no, I got
I don't want to be a broken record and, you know, be true to me and not answer your question, but like,
I'm used to it by now.
I want to reiterate, like, I mean, you're really telling me that if Mariota all of a sudden was dropped and he was in your rookie draft for some crazy reason, that you're not going to kind of flip your script and at least, like, sleep on what you're going to do with those early picks?
Yeah, no. I
mean, because that's not supposed to happen. He's a player that's not supposed to be in the draft. And so now all of a sudden you've got Mariota in your rookie draft, 25 years old. You know, I 5 years might be, you know what I mean? But he's only 25 years old.
No, but
owner said that they want to see him succeed on the team. Tannehill's nobody.
Right, and it's a similar situation. Like, if Mariota doesn't play well, he is a backup moving forward. They do not have to extend him. He's in the open market and he's competing for a job and he's playing backup. Like, he is playing for his and I think he's playing for his NFL job, not just the Titans job. Like, will you be a starter at all depends on this year and potential of getting Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, knowing I got 3-4 years out of them because of where they'll be drafted, makes more sense to me right now. Like, I, sure. I get your point of not wanting to do it, but to me, that's the safer part. I get you don't want to be in the draft, but Mariota might give you one as a starter and then not again, where I feel like I'm going to get 3-4 out of one of these guys I'm going to take, even if it's not good.
But these are our speculative views as
sure.
Dynasty owners and, you know what I mean, analysts and beat writers around the NFL. Like, it's, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, just because he was injured last year and he's had a roller coaster at the beginning of his career doesn't mean the team doesn't want him around.
Another offensive coordinator. Like, it's changing again, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of questions there. I'm not saying it's all even his fault. I get your side. I think the safeness lies in a rookie that will be given a few more years leash. That's all. I want Mariota to succeed and I don't mind buying him. I just, you know, consensus is a little bit farther, you know, towards maybe even a late first. It's kind of where all the points shade. Yep. Yeah, we got to plant a flag and figure out where, you know, what we think about these guys when we're making trades in January, February, March. It's only June.
And the 101, I mean, is only going to gain value. And
exactly.
I'm well aware of that. But, I mean, I have to, like, I'm just imagining that crazy scenario where if Mariota was in your rookie draft, like, I think you're crazy not to be interested. Or, I mean, shit, dude, if Andy Dalton was in my rookie draft, I would be ecstatic. I mean, those are usable assets. Like, right. Those, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm a little crazy, but yeah.
You are a little crazy.
Take it on this one.
All right, next one from at Dynasty Trades 13. What do we got?
All right, so Superflex, full PPR Dynasty. I do not get a league size. I wanna throw this out to people. Put a league size on there. It does help. And if there's anything else crazy with your league, list it there. Or at least list it underneath it so it's not on the main one, but we can still get to it. That'd be great. This is Jameis Winston, Marlon Mack in the 206, or Julio Jones on the other side.
All right, let's start with our guest, Jordan.
It would matter to me the quarterback situation in terms of, you know, are you trading away? Let's assume that you don't have a super need at quarterback by trading him away.
Yeah.
You know, give me Julio.
Yeah, say Jameis is your fourth quarterback. I mean, it's super flex or something. That's all right with you.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is a classic scenario of the aging wide receiver that, you know, Julio's maybe a little bit different of a case that I worry about with his injury history. Is he going to, you know, just take such a beating? Does he pull a Calvin Johnson, Rob Gronkowski and retire a little early? That's a little bit more in my calculus on Julio, but
I feel like he's getting ready to get paid big time though.
Yeah,
rumbling. So
true, but Marlon Mack. I mean, you look at that. Someone was talking about it online today, and I looked it up. There has been two running backs in the past 10 years that were drafted in the fourth round of the NFL draft that have produced two top 24 seasons, Lamar Miller and Devontae Freeman. I don't know how you feel great about Marlon Mack going forward, but that's just not a great profile. And the 206 is, it's okay, but give me an elite piece of Julio.
Yeah, I'll take the Julio side as well.
Yes.
I am not a Marlon Mack guy.
Neither am I. It's a Jag. To drink. Thoughts?
I also agree. It's Julio's side. I would like for that to be my, you know, like you said, my excess quarterback there. Jameis, the Winston side wins, 65-35%. So, I don't know. It was a little interesting when I wonder, like, I feel like if that's all I'm away and I can add Julio to my team and make a run, it's going to feel really good to win this year.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's like the never Julio crowd. I feel like that's a gain of, people, just a group of people that have gained momentum over the last little while, even though he puts up like 1,700 yards a year. It's just ridiculous.
Jordan, in Superflex, are you, how many quarterbacks do you normally look to roster dynasty wise? Like the 12 team, like you need at least three. Do you try to get four starters? What's your role there? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I sort of, it's a sliding scale in terms of how good the top two are typically. If I'm in a startup right now where I was actually going to sort of pay down, I'm usually a play two elite quarterbacks type of build. I tried to slide a little bit just to see how the build came out. So I took Stafford. I'm rolling with three quarterbacks right now. I suspect I'm going to add probably a rookie at some point in the next probably few picks would be my guess. But yeah, I usually play, if there are three stable starters, I'm fine with three, but I like to add a fourth upside guy in terms of starters. And then I usually play, depending on the league size, I like to fill in some backups. You know, if it's 25 man, maybe it's one or two. If it's going closer to 35, give me some backups. And the type of backups that I like are the Ryan Fitzpatrick's, the backup quarterbacks that have showed that they are starters, right? You're much better off to go that route than to try and draft developmental guys like Kyle Lauletta. Like, take the veteran who has proven that they could play. A guy like Nick Mullins, for example, he has proven that he can be a quarterback. There's only so many people doing this that can do that. So I am much more likely to lean towards a guy like that or Jacoby Brissett than to lean towards one of these developmental rookies, because the hit rate on them is super, super low in terms of guys that aren't first round guys.
Maybe grab Tannehill because Mariota missed some games.
Yeah, Tannehill and always bet on Mariota's a good example of this. Bet on guys that have pedigree that are going to bounce around. Right, Blaine Gabbert keeps getting jobs, and people want to bang on Blaine Gabbert, and I'm fine with doing that, but he is viable at times, and continues to get jobs. And what do we see? It's draft pedigree that just keeps hanging around, and that is a noticeable trend that I found in my research.
Nice. Love it. Last one from @big_Johnsta.
Nice. Good job.
Thanks, man. What's the deal?
All right, so we got big piece here. We got OBJ moving. After he goes to the Browns, now we're going to move him. On the other side, we're going to get James Conner, Stephon Diggs, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Miles Jack, because it's IDP, too.
Well, Miles Jack's a nice piece in IDP also.
I agree.
Yeah.
But OBJ, Steve, I recently took OBJ at 2 overall in a 1 quarterback dynasty mock. Like, I feel like he's moved right back up to the top where he was.
Yep.
So to move
Steve,
a piece
you
like
should
this,
take my spot in that mock draft.
you DM me after this and we'll chat.
Hell yeah.
If you really need help. Gosh. So it was Diggs, Miles Jack,
James
Conner,
and MVS.
And MVS. That's a nice haul, man. If you need the depth on your roster, so I think this is dependent on where your overall roster is. If you are contending, I think you stick with Beckham. I think if you are,
you're an orphan, you come in and OBJ is your only piece. You're like,
deal. I need pieces. I need pieces that can be useful. I need pieces to fill out my starting lineup. Yeah, that's the way I would do it and get as much as I possibly can, especially in IDP where you. Obviously, doesn't tell us the format there, but I'm assuming you're starting multiple defensive players at each position, and Jack's a LB1 in my mind. So, yeah,
gotcha.
So it's There's different aspects to it, but yeah, I would Beckham's my guy if I'm contending and ready to go now. If not, I'd take the pieces.
Jordan.
I would take Beckham. I don't know a ton about IDP. I don't play it. So if Miles Jack really moves the needle, and I know scoring's a lot over the place, I just don't play it. If he's a highly valuable piece in the scoring, that might change the calculus a little bit. But I'm primarily looking at this as Connor, Diggs, and MVS. Yeah. Hit rate on day three receivers is 5%. I mean, I don't think that highly of Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Connor's my boy, but OBJ is one of the most stable players in all of Dynasty. And I just have to, when you get a chance to get that for a couple of pieces that aren't really super elite at their position in terms of Connor and Diggs and the other two guys as well, I would lean towards OBJ and still.
Swags.
I like it. Odell Beckham Jr. But I mean, don't count Diggs out here totally, you know? Like,
I love some Diggs.
Diggs is not like just some weak ass piece in that at all. I mean, I think he finished the season last year wide receiver 10. Like, I like him going forward more than I've liked Diggs in a couple of years, to be honest with you. It's so high. But he is no Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not a Connor guy, so that doesn't tip the scale on me. But man, like, yeah, I don't mind. that side needs a little bit more for me to want the Diggs side, but that's not too crazy.
I just changed James Connor to Geis for you.
I'm in.
Oh, he's in for Geis. He might be in for Geis.
I'll take Diggs and Geis and feel pretty good, you know? Like, I got a little bit weaker. I got a little bit weaker. I don't think you overpaid. I think that's about right. I got a little bit weaker at wide receiver, but I have a running back who, I mean, we're a little bit more skeptical on today than we were even a month ago. As far as like the beginning of the season goes, you just happened to hit me with a man crush. Some people would not do that trade to drink.
No, I know. I was trying to find a spot.
I'm just more saying much. Like, yeah, I'm fine with Diggs as my wide receiver one. Pretty
right,
solid. You know?
You're RB heavy, so you don't have to play it that way. I get you. Yeah. Oh, I want to take all the pieces because I like Diggs and I like Connor more than you for sure.
Yeah.
But
it takes care of a couple things, you know.
OBJ has been right back to
right up there.
Yeah. Wide receiver one. Yep. That's what I said. So I'm going to take OBJ. 402 votes and 62% likes the package.
All right.
Big Johnsta. But I'm bummed.
Well played, T-Drink. Well played. Awesome. So before we let Jordan get out of here, one more time, tell everybody where they can find your work, man.
They can find the book at analyticsofdynasty.com/shop. I have two different packages you can get. You can get the book. It's available for immediate download. Once you press order, you'll have the book. It's for $30, or you can buy the book and get a one-on-one strategy session with me. And those are a lot of fun. I get together and talk with you about team building and about, you know, if you got a draft coming up or just general team building, we can talk strategy, do a whole bunch of things that we can talk about. That along with the book is $50. So we can get together. We'll talk. I usually spend a good chunk of time with folks and they have been a lot of fun. I mean, I've learned more talking and doing those. And just really enjoying it. So you can find it there. You can find the podcast at it's Dynasty Football Analytics. You can find me on Twitter at McNamara Dynasty, and you can also find me at uthdynasty.com.
Awesome. Swags, where can the folks find you?
I am at DFF_swag.
To drink.
At FR2Drink, minimum at Superflex Pod.
And I am at The Real Halupka, and that's Superflex Trades, and we are out.
Almost forgot. To be out.
It's like you gotta press the button to be out.
I was waiting for it.
That was fun.
How was the Madman meetup?
Madman was cool, man. We had some dinner.
Hey.
Chilled out. It was fun. Had a beer.
Nice.
Talking about Jordan. Like, Jordan, thanks a ton for coming on, man.
I was miss Madman. Thanks,
guys,
Jordan.
Thanks for having me so much, Jordan. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Cheers. Really good stuff, man. Really good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Where'd everybody go?
Let's go.
Let's go.
do it, Philly.
Got 35 seconds here.
So much filler.
What did you guys have to drink tonight? What did Madman drink?
Oh, I'm going to tell on him.
Was the family there?
The family was there. He had a fruity pina colada with an umbrella. It's pretty funny.
Did you get a picture of that?
I may or may not have.
That's awesome.
Sure of that.
I'm glad you guys got together. That's sweet. So both of your families were there, or just yours, or just his?
Both families.
Nice. That's awesome.
Madman, you may have to make trades with me. I'm going to show that to everybody.
Do it.
Nice work.